This is The Takeaway with Tanzina Vega.
So we continue to work and we'll see, but we had to walk away from that particular suggestion. We had to walk away from that. Basically, they wanted the sanctions lifted in their entirety, and we couldn't do that. They were willing to denuke a large portion of the areas that we wanted, but we couldn't give up all of the sanctions for that.
Seems to me you don't want to talk about it. Seems to me you just turn your pretty head and walk away.
Walk away from that, and we couldn't do that. But we're going to see. Frankly, I think we'll end up being very good friends with Chairman Kim and with North Korea, and I think they have tremendous potential.
President Donald Trump there at a news conference in Hanoi, Vietnam, early this morning after talks collapsed at the summit between the United States and North Korea. So to make sense of things, we turn to David Scheer, former U.S. ambassador to Vietnam and assistant secretary of defense. He was also the deputy director of the Korea desk during Madeleine Albright's 2000 visit to Pyongyang, and he's currently senior advisor to McLarty Associates. David, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Tanzina. It's great to be with you today.
So there hasn't been a lot of movement between North Korea and the United States since the last summit, if you will. What's the significance of the talks sort of breaking down as they did?
Well, I wasn't surprised by the breakdown of the talks. The sequencing of North Korean denuclearization, as well as the sequencing of our lifting of the sanctions, is an extremely difficult issue. And it was clear that neither side had an agreement on how to do either of these sequences going into the president's meeting with President Kim. So this is a very difficult issue. And as the president signaled last week in a tweet, I think it could be a lengthy process.
So, David, in a press conference after the talks fell apart, President Trump said that he and Kim Jong-un had talked about Otto Warmbier, the American student who died from brain damage in the United States after he had been imprisoned in North Korea.
I don't believe he knew about it.
Did he say it? Did he tell you that he did not, did Kim Jong-un tell you?
He felt badly about it. I did speak to him. He felt very badly. But he knew the case very well, but he knew it later. And, you know, you got a lot of people, a big country, a lot of people. And in those prisons and those camps, you have a lot of people. And some really bad things happened to Otto. Some really, really bad things.
Why are you?
But he tells me that he didn't know about it, and I will take him at his word.
Is it possible David, that Kim Jong-un did not know? And what does it tell us that the president of the United States is taking him at his word, as he says?
Well, I think it's astonishing that Kim Jong-un would not know how a high-profile American prisoner was being treated in his own detention facility. I also find it astonishing that the president would give President Kim a pass on this. North Korea is a very severe authoritarian state. President Kim would certainly want to know all of what's going on this. And I'm surprised that the president took President Kim's word on this.
Now, remind us the last summit or the last year summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un was quite a spectacle. There were agreements made, but those agreements were quite vague. Could you remind us what those agreements were and how they may have been either impacted or completely forgotten this time around?
Well, at Singapore, both sides produced a joint declaration that focused on 4 points. The first point related to the improvement in U.S.-North Korea relations. The second point was on our desire to arrive at a peace agreement. The third point conveyed North Korea's interest in denuclearization. And the fourth point laid out North Korea's promise to work with us on POW-MIAs left over from the Korean War. There has been some progress on POW-MIAs. It's clear that there has not been progress on the other issues, particularly with regard to denuclearization. A big difference between the Singapore summit and this summit was there appeared to have been little preparation going into the Singapore summit, and the result of that was a very vague joint statement. There's been a lot of preparation and a lot of negotiations between the two sides in preparation for this summit. One would have expected more progress as a result of that, particularly since the president's prestige was involved, but that appeared not to have been the case.
Now, obviously, we cannot talk about what happened yesterday without talking about, quite frankly, what the rest of the world was paying attention to, which was the Michael Cohen testimony before Congress. Michael Cohen, obviously, is President Trump's former personal attorney. That testimony was quite explosive. It was damning, if you will. There were new allegations that came out that could potentially implicate the president. I'm wondering if that story, A, is North Korea following that story, and does that ultimately affect whatever leverage we as a country or Donald Trump as a president has with North Korea?
I have no doubt that President Kim pays very close attention to the news coming out of Washington, particularly with regard to the president and the Cohen case. I suspect that the uncertainty and the chaos in Washington produces in our foreign observers, particularly the North Koreans, the sense that President Trump may be weak domestically, and therefore they can stonewall him at the negotiating table.
Where do negotiations go from here, David? I mean, do they continue? It doesn't feel like we outlined the 4 points that came out of Singapore. I'm wondering, you know, this last negotiation obviously didn't go as well as I'm assuming the president had hoped it would. Is this becoming a show of optics, or is there real potential here for change going forward?
Well, I hope there continues to be potential for change. That was certainly the message the president and Secretary Pompeo tried to convey at their Hanoi press conference overnight. They suggested that their relationship with President Kim remains friendly. They suggested that while we disagreed in the end, we are relatively close. And they said talks will continue, and that President Kim pledged not to conduct any nuclear or missile tests in the wake of the failed talks. So there appears to be a basis for continuing those talks. The South Koreans, the Chinese, and the Japanese have certainly made it clear that they hope the talks continue. And while the president wasn't clear when the talks may resume, I'd expect to look for continued negotiation between the two sides.
David Scheer is a former U.S. ambassador to Vietnam and assistant secretary of defense. He's currently a senior advisor to McLarty Associates. David, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tanzina.
Seems to me you don't want to talk about it. Seems to me you just do your bidding and walk away.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.